future events is this. Who's the Antichrist? Who's the Antichrist? Daniel chapter 11 addresses that matter. I find it a very amazing passage of Scripture. It contains a detailed preview of world history. It is actually broken down into two parts. In Daniel chapter 11, verses 1 through 35, there are 135 prophecies that have been 100% fulfilled. So these verses are simply a history to us. However, they do provide a convincing introduction to end time events, a period of time in world history that is rapidly approaching. Other prophecies in this chapter that are yet to take place can be expected to be fulfilled in the very same manner as the 135 prophecies that you find in the first 35 verses. So beginning in verse 36 and through to the end of the chapter, we actually come to a section that was prophesied by Daniel and is still prophecy for us today. This is where we want to focus our attention this morning. You see, these last 10 verses of Daniel 11 describe events that have no parallel in world history. Since the early days of the Christian church, most expositors have seen in these verses a description of the final end-time ruler known as the Antichrist. Once again, the question always arises, who is he? Well, he'll be a man who will appear on the world scene in the last days, just before Jesus Christ returns to this earth. Described in both the Old and the New Testaments, he will be the very incarnation of evil. Clearly, he will be disguised, first of all, as being very dynamic. Second, he will be charismatic. And third, he will be visionary. He will astound the world with his solutions to human problems. His empire will span every continent. He will rise to world domination and will himself appear to the world as the savior of humanity by declaring himself a man of peace. Eventually, his true character will be revealed. He will be opposed eventually to Jesus Christ, and he will plunge the world into global war. The Antichrist will also control the global economy and force his followers to receive a mark on their hands and on their foreheads. Most of the world will willingly follow him. To use a biblical phrase, they will believe a lie. Those who do not receive the mark will be hunted down, and many will be put to death. For a short period of time, he will become the most powerful man on earth. At the apex of his power, he will launch an all-out attack on Jesus Christ at a place called Megiddo in the valley of Jezreel in the central region of Israel. That battle is known in the Bible as Armageddon. His reign of terror will come to a sudden end by the Lord Jesus Christ when he returns to this earth. The Bible says the number of the Antichrist's name is 666, and there's been a lot of different views that have been expounded as to what that might mean. But here's what can be said about this number with certainty. Since 7 is the number of divine perfection, 666 represents Satan's attempt to counterfeit God. 666 stands for the best men can do. The Antichrist will be the end result of secular humanism. In the 20th century, the weapons of mass destruction were in the hands of only a few nations because the raw materials were both rare and they were expensive. But the advent of computer technology has placed enormous power in the hands of many more people who know how to hack into sophisticated computer sites and shut them down for hours and even days. Then there's biotechnology, there's cloning, there's advanced robotics. There are those who are tinkering with the genetic code, and still others who are making dazzling advances in artificial intelligence. Someday, cancer may be wiped out. The aging process may be slowed down, and worn-out body parts replaced with silicone substitutes. In the new world just ahead of us, it is believed that some may even live to be 200. But will have to surrender any visage of personal privacy in the process. The same technology that makes modern life so pleasant is also paving the way for the future perfection of extreme evil in the days that are yet to come. The question still before us is simply this, but still, who is the Antichrist? Through history, many names have been suggested. Most of the names, I think, are self-explanatory. Here's a few of them. Charlemagne, he conquered much of Europe, tried to reestablish the Roman Empire. Then there was Napoleon. And then there was Mussolini. And then there was Adolf Hitler. And then there was Joseph Stalin. And then there was Mikhail Gorbachev. And then there was Saddam Hussein. Other names could have been added to that list. The only thing we know for sure is that every guess so far has been wrong. There really is no way in advance to know who the Antichrist will be. Because, you see, he will not appear to be an evil person at first. It's not as if he's going to run for the office with the slogan, "I'm the Antichrist, vote for me." Laying speculation aside, what can we know about the Antichrist, however? From Daniel 11, 36 to 45. Well, here it tells us a great deal about his character, about his career, and about his ultimate collapse. Let's look at his character traits. They're described for us in a bit of detail there in Daniel 11, 36 to 39. And that passage has already been read to you, so I will not reread it. Here's a summation of what's found in there. He's arrogant. He'll be self-willed. He never stops talking and boasting about himself. The Antichrist will be the ultimate egomaniac. He's a blasphemer. He's deceptive, ruthless, and utterly devoid of integrity. He'll be outspoken in his public opposition to God. He will initially be very successful. His reign is limited by God. The time of wrath in verse 36 refers to the last half of the seven-year tribulation period. Note that even though the Antichrist has enormous power, he can only do what God permits him to do. Next, he will reject his own spiritual heritage. Verse 37 says he has no regard for the God of his fathers. This expression has led some to think he must be Jewish. However, Daniel chapter 7 says he comes out of the fourth beast, which represents the Roman Empire. And Revelation chapter 13 pictures the beast, a symbol of the Antichrist, arising out of the sea of the Gentile nations. Thus I lean toward the view that he is a Gentile, that the Bible isn't explicit at that point. Whatever spiritual background he comes from, he will reject it totally. Next, he opposes organized religion. He will set himself up as God to be worshipped. This is the abomination of desolation that takes place in the midpoint of the tribulation when he will stop the sacrifices in the rebuilt temple in Jerusalem. He will proclaim himself to be God. Presently, the Dome of the Rock, a Muslim mosque, is located where the temple used to be before it was destroyed. Its destruction brought a temporary end to the Jewish sacrificial system. The Bible Bible tells us the temple will be rebuilt in the same original location someday before Jesus returns. Next, the Antichrist worships military might and power. Verse 38 mentions a god of fortresses. It is the only time this expression is used in the Bible. His bloodthirsty character allows him to ruthlessly kill millions of people in his drive for world domination. His power will come from Satan. This explains the God unknown to his fathers in verse 38. He will deceive the world with the help of Satan, who will empower him to work miracles that will astound the people of his day. Next, he will conquer many nations. Then he will richly reward those who follow him. For a short period of time, the Antichrist will appear to be the savior of the world you've been yearning for, but the so-called man of peace will soon reveal his true character. Those are the characteristics of the Antichrist. Now let's discover his career. You'll find that information in Daniel 11:40-44. Simply, these verses describe a series of military maneuvers that will take place during the last few years of the tribulation. Keep in mind, in Daniel, geography is figured from Jerusalem as the starting point. When this passage refers to the king of the south, it points to an end-time ruler who leads an alliance of armies. That may include present-day Saudi Arabia, Egypt, and the North African nations. The king of the north is another group of nations. They could come from Syria, Turkey, Russia, or one of the regions of the former USSR. As the Antichrist tries to consolidate his power, he will face serious opposition. In the process, he will invade and conquer Israel, the beautiful land. Toward the end of the tribulation, the kings of the east will be involved. They include Iraq, Iran, Pakistan, India, all of Southeast Asia, China, Korea, and Japan. Perhaps this should be connected with the vast army from the east that is mentioned in Revelation chapter 16. These verses give us a very compressed account of what we might call the Armageddon campaign. What we refer to as the Battle of Armageddon is really a military campaign involving many armies, many battles, and many people's lives that will be taken. These various battles will reign over a vast area of land, but will center in the Middle East. Armies from the north and east move against the Antichrist, causing a bloodbath previously unknown in human history. Revelation 14 describes blood flowing as high as the horse's bridle, a stream that in places would be 4 or 5 feet deep. Amazing. As the mightiest armies on earth converge, the stage is now set for the final act in human history. His collapse. Daniel 11:45. The Antichrist will pitch his royal tents, yet he will come to his end. As he prepares to go to war, he sets up his military headquarters in Jerusalem, the beautiful holy mountain, between the Mediterranean Sea and the Dead Sea. The final battle will take place on the plains of Jezreel in central Israel, near a crossroads called Megiddo. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 8, describes that final end of the Antichrist in this way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will overthrow and destroy by the splendor of his coming. Ponder the scene for a moment. Millions of soldiers are moving toward the Middle East, armed with the very latest technical weaponry, and they will be in full intent to use that arsenal. But at the last second, something happens. Perhaps it's a sign in the sky that catches the attention of the combats. Suddenly the armies of the unregenerate men cease fighting each other and join together in a final assault on the Lord Jesus Christ. As the Lord begins his descent from heaven, the order is given to fire away at him, but it'll do no good because they cannot reach the mark. The Lord Jesus Christ will open and destroy them all very quickly. The battle belongs to the Lord. The battle is over before it gets started. But there is nowhere to hide for any of them. The great judgment day will come. No one can escape. The Apostle John gives us this vivid description of that moment in Revelation 19, verses 11 through 14. I saw heaven standing open. There before me was a white horse whose rider is called Faithful and True. But just as he judges and makes war, his eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He's dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven will follow him, riding on white horses, and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. And in Revelation 19, 19 through 20, and I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against the rider on the horse and his army. The beast was captured, with him the false prophet who has performed the miraculous signs on his behalf. With these signs he has deluded those who have received the mark of the beast and worshipped his image. Two of them will be thrown alive into the fiery lake of burning sulfur. The message is clear. A person can't take on God and win. The only way to be on the winning side is to be on God's side. Let me wrap up this study with these final questions. Is the Antichrist alive today? I do not know, and do not think anyone really knows. Number two, if he is alive today, does he know that he is the Antichrist? Probably not. If he's alive today, he's simply a man of the world. A man who's arrogant, ambitious, ruthless, calculating, and yet witty and personable, possessing a great charm that will disarm his harshest critics. His career as Antichrist will begin when Satan possesses him in a final attempt to overthrow God. How should all of this affect us today? In the end, this is the most important question. I do not think the Bible gives us this information simply so that we can play a game called Name the Antichrist. So how should we respond to the truth about the coming of the Antichrist? Here are five answers to that question. Number one, brace yourself. Worst is yet to come. No matter how good the world seems to be in terms of technology, friends, the moral compass is pointing in the wrong direction. The modern unholy trinity of tolerance, diversity, and pluralism is paving the way for an outbreak of evil beyond anything we have yet seen. Number two, be alert. The last days will be a time of confusion and spiritual delusion. And don't be sucked in by the spirit of the Antichrist that is already in the world today. That spirit tries to make us think that sin isn't really sinful and that there's no such thing as right and wrong. It also seduces us into silence, but maybe we ought to speak out. Number three, be bold. This is no time for compromise. In the days to come, we will see persecution grow worse. Those who know Christ are ridiculed for their faith. That is happening in many places around the world. We have prayed about one this morning in Korea. God bless those Christians in faraway lands who follow Christ openly and now are paying a heavy price. May God give us the same kind of bold faith to stand up for Jesus no matter what the cost. Number four, be encouraged. Oh, yeah. the Antichrist will rise, but he'll fall. And then Christ will return to this earth. When his time on earth is up, Satan will be utterly destroyed. Fifth, come to Christ, if you haven't done so already. There has never been a better time to become a Christian. Eventually, the whole world will have to make a choice, Christ or the Antichrist. Why not come to Christ today? Today is the day of salvation. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, then run to the cross if you haven't done already. Lay your sins on Jesus. Believe that he died for you, and that he rose again the third day. Open your heart up to him. Trust Christ as your Lord and Savior. And then no matter what the future holds, you'll have nothing to fear from the Antichrist and his evil plans. Because, friends, his days are numbered. One day, in the not too distant future, Jesus Christ will return to this earth as he said he would. He's coming back again. And what a day that will be. In fact, our closing hymn, led by Jake and our worship team, reflects on what that will be like. Think of the words as it is sung. We shall behold him face to face. Wouldn't that be wonderful? One day to see Jesus, the one who loved us, the one who saved us by his grace. Let's sing it together. The worship team, they just